And after you put a ribbon there, or a mark, or your finger, or whatever, when you lead somebody to the Lord, and you know, and then as a pastor, you go to all these verses. I can't keep up with all these verses, and I can't even find them. By the time you get done with, you're already going to the next one. So I won't go into that many today, but I'm going to buy you all of some highlighters, by the way. I put a note on my desk, highlighters. So I'm going to buy everybody in the church a highlighter, because notice lately I've been saying, you ought to highlight that or you ought to mark that. But not everybody has a highlighter. So I thought to myself, well, if I expect people to highlight things in the Bible, I suppose I ought to give them a highlighter. So I'm going to go out and buy you some highlighters, so then you won't have any excuses. They didn't mention this. That's your leaders, Josiah and his wife. They've been married 1 month, and they're on the road with these girls. And so praise the Lord. But they have stuff out there about their college, and it is a good college. Luke Mack went down there. Of course, he married some girl from Kentucky or Tennessee. He never did come back home. But anyway, he graduated. I thought for sure he'd come back home and be on our staff, but that bum. Anyway, I'll have to talk to him about that. He'll be up this summer sometime. And it's a fantastic college. It's very reasonably priced. If you pray about it, maybe God would have you to go there. So take some material and buy some music later. How much are those CDs? Does anybody know? $2 for $20 or $12, and you can mention Max. All right, so good. Get some good music. It was a blessing. All right, I want to look you to look at the second passage is Psalm 57. So you got a ribbon there in 2 Chronicles 20, and we'll get there shortly. But I want you to go back to Psalm 57. You say, Pastor, you just taught on this on a Wednesday night not that long ago. I know I did. But we were talking about praise. So a week or two ago on a Wednesday night, what I was doing was I was giving people some psalms to use when they go visit people in the hospital and things like that. This particular psalm is a very special psalm to me. And then I said, I think I'm going to preach a sermon on praise. Well, then when Brother Bennett was preaching one night, he used the word perpetual. And so here's the title of my sermon, The Power of Perpetual Praise. Bill Case will be proud of that with all those P's in there, all right? But the power of perpetual praise. And I want you to notice in Psalm 57 and verse 7, it says, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. He said, I will sing and give praise. Now, this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. That is a key verse. You ought to highlight that verse. You ought to underline that verse. You ought to do something with that verse. All right? But he said, let me read it one more time. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Now, you're going to have to fix your heart. I'm going to explain that in just a little bit. And then he said, I will sing and give praise. Now, that phrase, my heart is fixed, that doesn't really mean David had a broken heart and it needed repairing. Although sometimes that is true, but that's not the case in this situation. You know what it means? It means my heart is steadfast. My heart is unmovable. It is always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what he means there. He says this, I have in my heart, I have a resolute purpose in my heart. And he said, I will sing and I will give praise. Now that's what he's going to do. I have determined that I will live a life of perpetual praise. And I want you to remember that phrase. The power of praise, or the power of perpetual praise. Now, we need to learn how to praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm going to say something. It needs to become a permanent part of our life. Let me give you a couple more psalms. Go back to Psalm 34. You and I, we need to be people who are perpetually praising the Lord. You can highlight this verse, too, if you've got a highlighter. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at how many times? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's another wonderful psalm. Not just the good times, but at the bad times, the in-between times. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Now, what is praise? Praise is this, and this is a simple definition. It's all I know of me. And I know some things about me that you don't know about me. It's all I know about me responding to all I know about him as I respond to him. Now, we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But what is the worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? I think the phrase in spirit is, by the way, Jesus, do you ever think about in John 4, the most profound statement Jesus ever made about worship, and he made it to a lady who was a prostitute. That always amazes me that that's who he made that said that to. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But anyway, in spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. It's getting you excited about praising the Lord, about worship. Truth is the Word of God. Our worship, if it's going to be biblical worship, has to be centered on the Word of God and based on the authority of the Word of God. But I also think in spirit is, listen, we no longer try to hide how we feel about God. We're truthful about it. I mean, we're out there with it. We're open with it. We are continually praising the Lord. Somebody said this, some are inhibited when they ought to be inhabited. I said, well, that's kind of a catchy little phrase right there. We don't worship in truth and in our spirit sometimes. You know why? We got to maintain dignity. We got to try to save faith. But we need to worship in spirit and in truth, and we need to do it perpetually, consistently, and we need to praise God and worship God from principle and not from impulse. And by the way, you ought not to allow the peer pressure around you or the congregation that you're around you determines how you worship the Lord. If you say amen, you just say amen no matter where you are. If you flip a hand to the Lord and say praise God, it ought not to be. You shouldn't have to go like that. Anybody else doing this? Well, no one else doing this. I guess I better not do this. You shouldn't be that way. You ought just be praising the Lord. And when David said in Psalm 57:7, he said fixed. David's saying it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to worship and praise the Lord at all times. He said, my heart is fixed. I'm worshiping, I'm singing, I'm praising the Lord. I will sing and give praise, and it doesn't matter what happens. For all things, always, I am in everything. I'm going to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then he said it like this, concerning me. Why? Well, because he's a sovereign God. So I can worship him all the time. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter the circumstances. I can worship the Lord. Are you aware, and I really wasn't aware of this until I started studying this, but are you aware that there is more emphasis on praise in the Bible than there is on prayer in the Bible? As important as prayer is, and I don't think anybody here would ever diminish the importance of prayer, but it is not any more important than praise. Actually, there is a greater emphasis in Scripture on praise than there is on worship, on prayer. And you know what a well-balanced Christian has? He has both. He has prayer life, and he has a praise life. He has both. Now, they aren't the same. Prayer, in the strictest sense of the word, is asking and receiving something. Dr. Rice used to have a book out. I suppose it's still available somewhere. Pray is asking. The name of the book was Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Petitions that come into God's presence that carry something away. Praise is goes into God's presence, and you know what it does? It remains there. Prayer is asking something from God. Praise doesn't ask anything from God. It just ascends like a sweet-smelling incense into the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to give you some thoughts or some reasons, I guess I ought to say, for perpetual praise. And no matter what happens in your life, you and I will be able to say, my heart is fixed on God. I will sing and I will give praise. It's not going to be, well, I might. I will. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall be continually on my lips. Now, let me give you the first reason. Why do we need to have perpetual praise in our lives? And why is there power in praise? Now, let me give you one other psalm. You can look over there if you want to. It's Psalm 108 and verse 1. It says almost the same thing. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. You can highlight that one too. Now why? Why in the world is there power, or how is there power in praise? First of all, in order to give God reverence. In order to reverence the Savior. Are you aware that all things, living and not living, are to be praising our Lord? I mean the rocks. Even the rocks are to be a praise to the Lord. Here's another psalm. Psalm 145 and verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Now you think about all thy works. The rocks, the trees, the flowers, the rivers, the oceans, the stars, the sun, the moon, the animals, they all say, praise the Lord. Everything that God has created has been created to praise the Lord. Praise is the very highest thing. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Praise is the highest thing that angels do. These are two of my favorite chapters over here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. They don't even rest, saying, and here's what they say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. No rest. They just praise the Lord. Why do they say holy, holy, holy? How come they don't just say holy, holy, or why don't they just say holy? Why is it holy, holy, holy? This is what I think. Father, Son, Spirit. The triune God is holy, holy, holy. The four beasts cry out. By the way, those aren't actually literal beasts. They're not literal beasts in there. They are angels. Actually, the literal would be living ones. They are angelic creatures or living ones, literally. They guard the throne of God, and they praise the Lord continually. It says they rest not day and night. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Pastor, how many is that? I don't have any idea, but it's a lot. Now look what it said in verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now can you picture all of these angelic beings up in heaven? Look at verse 13. And every creature was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, some people say, you know, I don't like big churches. You ever hear people say that? Or you go out door knocking and say, I don't go to church because I just don't like a crowd. What are they going to do if they get to heaven? There's thousands and thousands and tens of thousands. I don't know how many people are up there and angels are up there. And they're all praising God. Well, I'm being sarcastic, okay? If you don't like a big crowd, you better not get saved. Because in heaven, there's a big crowd. And if you want to say it's a local church, which I do, it's a big church. And we're all there praising the Lord. We get in heaven and we all join and we're there and we're just going to give God praise and glory. Praise is the highest occupation of angels and is a reverence to the Savior. And by the way, if all of our praise did was reverence the Savior, wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't that be reason enough to praise Him? We ought to want to praise the Lord. We ought to want to give Him glory because we reverence Him. So what's the Patch Kids say? We have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude and perpetual praise. So the first reason is this. It gives you power because it reverences the Savior. Secondly, you need to learn the power of praise to resist the devil. Now that's a fact. The devil hates praise. I mean, he hates it. I want you to go back to that passage I told you over there in 2 Chronicles. Now, here is Jehoshaphat. He's got something going on here. I want you to look. You there? Verse number one. Jehoshaphat is a good king. But there's some enemies that's going to rise up against this good king. Verse one. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So now we got a little crowd coming here. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be of, I'm going to skip that word, which is En-Gedi. So they're coming. So you know what Jehoshaphat does? He goes to the Lord in prayer. Look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed the fast throughout Judea. By the way, prayer and fasting still works, you know. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand there is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? And didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel? And gavest it unto the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And so he goes on and he praying to the Lord. Now, I want you to skip on ahead here. We don't have time to read the whole chapter, but go to verse 15. Now, that's what God, that Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord and he asks for deliverance. That's what he asks for. Now, I want you to follow verse 15. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. Tomorrow, now here's what they're going to do. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem before the Lord. And what were they doing? Worshipping. They were worshiping the Lord. They had not received the victory yet, but they're worshiping the Lord. You see that? And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now, there is a great spiritual going on, and you're in our world today. It's good versus evil. It is well organized. It's demonized. It's led by the devil himself. Now, go on down to verse 22. Well, let me read from verse 21st. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. You'll find that phrase in the Psalms as well, beauty of holiness. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when, circle the word when, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab, the Mount Seir, and were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, do you see that when? The people of Judah did not say, you know, when God gives us the victory, we're going to praise and we're going to sing and we're going to worship. That's not what they did. And you know what God kind of said here? You're not going to see victory until you praise me. You understand that? You see that word in verse 22? Now look at Jehoshaphat and think about God's plan. Look at what he said in verse 21. For the children of Ammon, of Moab, stood up against the inhabitants of the men of Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, this isn't the strategy that I would have used. And they should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So he says, you go forth, and you praise, and you sing unto the Lord. And once they started praising the Lord and worshiping, you know what God did? God gave them victory. You say, well, I usually don't do it that way. You know what? Most people don't usually do it that way. Most people don't usually praise the Lord until after the victory. And if they never get the victory they want, you know what they don't do? They don't praise the Lord. But we're to be praising the Lord at all times. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, can you imagine a modern general saying, we're going into battle, and here's our plan. We're just going to praise the Lord. That's what we're going to do. Now I'm saying, your military guy should be going like this. Don't fire a shot. Don't launch an airplane. Don't go grab a tank and get in it. We're not going to do anything until the Marine Band comes out and plays Onward Christian Soldiers. And then the guys go out there and they sing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. We're not going to do anything until that happens. And they began to praise and worship, and God gave a great victory. I am telling you something, there is power in praise. I hope you learn that. God is present when we praise. You want to bring God into a situation? You want to invoke the blessings and presence of God? Praise. Psalms 22:3 says this, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God dwells in the midst of his praise. That is one reason why singing is so important in a church service. We're worshiping the Lord. God dwells in the midst of praise. I will never understand why some people, when we stand to sing, never sing. I just don't get it. And I stand up here most of the time, and I kind of glance around. It amazes me. Young people, old people, I don't sing good. Well, maybe someone's going to say, you don't sing good, all right? Sing anyway. Lift your voice to the Lord. There's been two times in our church when we were in the midst of a singing service, once when I was a youth pastor, it was back in that far room on the left. I taught the teenagers. Anyway, on Wednesday nights, we were singing songs, and there was about a 12 or 13-year-old boy in there, and he got up. Mark, do you remember this? And he went out the window, across the front yard, across the road, and into the, that was just like a brush field over there at that time. You know all that caused him to do that? Praise. That young boy was demon-possessed. And they could not stand to be in the presence of praise. The demons couldn't. There was another time we had a lady here. This goes back several years as well. But she was kind of strange anyway. But every time we had a song service going on, she'd get up and leave, and she'd go into the bathroom every time. So one day I asked her about it. I said, why do you do that all the time when we're singing and praising the Lord? She says, because the voices in my head tell me those songs are stupid. Don't listen to these songs. Don't believe these songs. These songs are dumb. And then she said some other things that were inappropriate. I won't tell you what the voices were telling her. I said, would you like those gone? And you know what she said? No. I like what they tell me. So I had to ask her not to come back to church because we really don't want that kind of spirit in church, right? But why would, I still to this day would ask myself, why in the world did she say no? I am telling you there is power in praise and the devil hates it. It will help you resist the devil. Praise is a way to resist. Profanity is praise in reverse. Rather than blessing the name of God, you curse the name of God. You condemn the name of God. You vilify the name of God. You want to give the devil a place to work in your life? Take God's name in vain. That'll solve that problem for you. The devil lives in that profanity, but God dwells in the midst of praise. When you begin to praise, you glorify God. There is something about praise that the devil hates. You're just going to have to accept that by faith. He hates it. Some people can't stand certain odors. I remember one time I was visiting a home, and they invited me into this house. So I took a step into that house, about one, and it just hit me. Whoom! I mean, the odor was ridiculous. I can take a lot of bad odors. I loved working on the farm. The smells of the farm never bothered me one bit. In fact, I got to where I enjoyed it. You say, that's just ridiculous. Well, I did. So the slurry guy down here, now that's a little bit over the edge. But anyway, never bothered me. But I walked into that house. I started gagging. And they're standing there talking. You want to gag in their house from the odor while they're standing there talking? So I said, no, that's okay. I'll just couldn't stand it. I mean, it was unbelievable. That's how the devil is about praise. He just can't stand it. You want to learn how to resist the devil? One of the ways is praise the Lord. We start praising God and the devil hates it. And when people curse and vilify the name of the Lord, that becomes the devil's dirty campground and he can find a place to operate in your life. God and inhibits the praise of God inhabits the praise of his people, and when there is massive triumph, spirit-filled praise, the devil in many ways is paralyzed, and you want to release God's power, learn the pattern of perpetual praise and say, my heart is fixed on God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and I will give praise unto the Lord. So not only do you reverence the Savior, you resist the devil. Thirdly, you know what else you do? You release the Spirit. That's why you got to learn the power of praise. The Holy Spirit, why don't you look there at Psalm 61. This happens to be another special psalm of mine. Verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You learn to praise by studying the Psalms. Let me read that again. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now here's a good practice. My wife does it a little different, but a good practice is to read a psalm a day. But she takes the calendar and she might read, this is I think what you do, Psalm 1, Psalm 11, Psalm 21, 31, 41, and do all them. Now, I would just say read a psalm a day. But if it's a short one, you know, like Psalm 117, got two verses, okay. You might want to read a couple extra while you're at it. But you can read a few a day because they will teach you how to praise. And not only that, they'll teach you how to pray as well. How will I get done what needs to be done? By praise, that I may perform my vows. How will I have power in my life? By praise. I'm too busy. Listen, if you're too busy to read God's word and too busy to praise the Lord, you know what? You're right. You're just too busy. You need to adjust your life so you're not quite so busy. Praise is a wonderful thing. What will give you strength and stir you? You know what it does? You praise the Lord. Didn't the Bible say, the joy of the Lord is my strength? Lord, I joy in you. I am going to refresh my soul in you. You just offer him praise and his spirit fills you and he sends strength and he sends energy into you. Praise is wonderful. By the way, the praise, and he says that I may daily perform my vows. You could write this above that verse. Praise and performance go together in that particular sense. They're inseparable. Why? Because God moves in when we believe God and when we praise his holy name. Praise is an outward confidence that we have in our great God. That's why we can do it before the victory, because we have confidence that God's always going to do the right thing. You got confidence in that, I assume, right? What does praise do? Now watch. It reverences the Savior. It's a powerful way to resist the devil. It releases the Spirit. So you know what it does? It refreshes the saint. Don't you just love to listen to these girls sing? And just listen to good godly music? I'll tell you, we go to a conference once a year. We've been going the last few years out in New Jersey. It's called the Summit. The preaching is good, but I got to tell you, the singers is off the charts. I mean, the worship is unbelievable. You get, I don't know, 400 or 500 preachers maybe that are there. You know how preachers sing? They sing by letter. They open their mouth and they just let her fly and they don't care what they sound like. And I mean, that place gets excited. Ruby and Bill went with us a couple years ago. And even Ruby did this. Now, you know Ruby don't normally. That's not her, man. That's out of her character, I'll tell you that. But she did. The worship is tremendous. And it's powerful. And I'm going to tell you something. It is refreshing. It refreshes the spirit. It's the highest function that we can attain. You know that? If you read books, you've seen an increase in mental health books for Christians. They have just as many disorders mentally, evidently, as the people of the world. You know what I think? I think we need less psychiatrists and less psychologists and less drugs that we give people, and we need more praise. That's what we need. Most mental problems are over occupation with a personal self-centeredness, a personal ego. If God is not the center of your life, somebody said this, Jesus is the glue of the galaxy. By him all things consist. And by all things, he said, not only physical, but emotional and institutional are held together by Jesus. And if you take Jesus out, everything begins to fall apart. Isn't that true? The reason so many are stressed out and coming apart is they are ego-centered, and it has a built-in self-destruction with it. A person who is self-centered is going to become defensive and hostile, and he'll become more aggressive if he continually and perpetually is self-centered, self-willed. But when he is God-centered, that's what praise does. It makes you God-centered. It refreshes your soul. Praise makes us God-centered. And then gradually, he becomes this person. He becomes a whole person again. What changed? He went from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, and he began to praise the Lord. Now, in a hard time, we praise before the victory. I said earlier, but we usually do that backwards. We usually praise after the victory because we know what we want. And if, because we're all a little selfish, aren't we? And when we don't get exactly what we want, sometimes we don't praise like we ought to praise. And we don't say, well, thank the Lord for that. I want you to look at a few other verses. Look at Luke chapter 9. Verse 24. This is a very interesting verse. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, in modern language, Jesus said this: a self-centered life would be destroyed, and a God-centered life will be saved. You can't continually, perpetually praise God without giving up your self-centeredness. But the praise becomes a way of life. And God becomes the center of your attention rather than yourself. When you worship the King in the beauty of holiness, something happens on the inside and of you, and it renews you and it invigorates you and it refreshes you. It just does. I will promise you, I assume we're going to the summit in July unless something happens. Well, we'll go down there, and by Thursday evening, everybody will be refreshed. Usually you're refreshed by end of Tuesday night, because these services aren't an hour. I mean, they go on and on. They last hours. And it's just a blessing. And it's just awesome. But the praise and the worship, and everybody is just refreshed. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 61. When you worship the King, it's really something. By the way, you can't praise and sulk. You can't do it. Praise the Lord, woe is me. They don't go together. They don't go together. You don't praise and sulk. Some of you need to pull some of the groans out of your prayer life and start putting in some of the praises into your prayer life. Praise and irritation, they don't go together either. Look at this third verse in Psalms in Isaiah 61. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, now watch, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The whole sermon in this one verse right here. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Did you see that phrase in the middle there? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You got a spirit of heaviness? You got something weighing you down? You're just like, oh man, this is heavy. You know what I mean? I got some advice for you right here. Put on a garment of praise. Start praising the Lord. God wants to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's medicine for the soul. It is. Praise refreshes the saints. Many times the Bible tells us to worship the Lord, to give glory to God. Let me ask you something. Some of our young people have said things like this, and we had a group of them here, by the way, Friday night. There's several churches that were here when these guys were here. Is God an egomaniac to ask us to praise him? Or is God unsure of himself? Like he has to have people always telling him how great he is? That's not true. God is not an egotistic person or God. He's not unsure of himself. He's not so unsure of himself he needs to be reminded how great he is. Now you listen. Praise does not add anything to God. Doesn't add anything to God's changeless glory. And if you fail to praise God, God is not diminished at all. He's still God. God wants you to worship, hear me well, not because of what it does for him. God wants you to worship because of what it does for you. You need to worship. I need to worship. I need to praise the Lord. Because a man becomes like what he worships. So when we worship God, you know what actually happens to us? We become more like God. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I got typed in here, so. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image. We're changed unto the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You will be better if you worship better. Some people come into church. Don't stone me. I'd rather not come somewhere is to be late, okay? But it doesn't bother some people rather be late. It's like, wow, I'm only 10 minutes late today. Man, I really got a good day going here already. But anyway, some people come in late. They miss half the singing. They miss half the time when God is going to use this to prepare us for the Word of God. I don't get that. But you'd be better off if you worship better. You see, praise changes us. And we worship Him as we ought, we become as we ought. Some people come to church and they're like a man who is dull as, you know, just as soon sit out there and watch the grass grow. I mean, they're just dull. But when you worship, man, it just lifts you up and it just does something for you. What's it say? When you worship the Lord, and I mean really worship the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18, when we see the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And when you say, my heart is fixed, I will sing, I will praise, I will worship with my mouth perpetually, we become more and more and more like the one we worship. So, what does praise do? It refreshes the saints. Let me give you one last thought. Melissa, you're right, I might not get through this. Number 5, it reaches the sinner. Praise reaches the sinner. Look at Psalm 40. This will be the last passage we look at. Psalm 40. This is another wonderful psalm. It reaches the sinner. Now watch this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me us all also out of a horrible pit. Ever been into pits? You say, well, I've never been in a pit like Joseph. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, you're just down like, man, I'm just in the pits today. He brought me also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. Now, God did that for the psalmist here. And notice what it says in verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. That's praise. Even praise unto our God. And then notice the last part of the verse. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know what God does? God brings us out of the pit. I relate to that very well. God brings us out of the miry clay. I get that. He puts us on a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I get that. He establishes our going. I don't understand all this beautifully. He puts a new song in our heart, and He puts praise on our lips. That's what He does. That's what. Look at the end of verse 3 again. And then because of that, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It'll reach the sinner. This song is not only one that you can hear, it's the kind that in sing, it's one you can see. Many shall see it in fear. That is giving reverence, and they begin to trust in the Lord. You know what I am? I am a two-legged song. That's what my life is supposed to be. People are looking at my life, and they're looking at your life, and they say, what gives them that joy? Why do they live in perpetual victory all the time? Why does he or she live day by day in this victory? What enables them to do that? It's praise. And you'll have a reverence and a fear, and you know he'll trust in the Lord. You talk about a way to outreach. Then for the unsaved to see the beauty of Jesus proclaimed in our lives through our praise. You get lost people into a church service where God's people are happy, and where they're praising the Lord, and they're getting victory, and they say amen, and they say praise the Lord, and they flip a hand to the Lord every now and again, and they sing, listen, they sing like they really mean it. He'll say, man, Those girls are up there singing, and people are saying amen, and they're clapping a little bit. We don't clap a lot here, I know that. We're not Hollywood, you know. But anyway, we clap a little bit, and we praise. And I do this a lot, and hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. I like it. Good, something like that. People say something. They nod their heads a little bit. And the guy look around, and he'll say, man, these people believe this stuff. And you know what's going to happen? Before long, he's going to be believing this stuff. And evangelism is as much caught as it is taught. Evangelism is the way you shake hands. Evangelism is the way you sit up here in the choir loft and people see you and you sit there. If you're taking a nap up here, you might want to sit down there. But we don't have a choir at this service. In the way you look during the offering and the way you look during the offertory. Oh, here comes that stupid offering plate again. I knew this was happening. And you say amen. And you nod your head, and it's in the way we sing, and what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. That's evangelism. It's in the way you smile at guests and make them feel welcome. That's evangelism. And when there is a praise, that joy, that victory, it has this contagiousness to it or something. And it just draws people and where they want to come to the place, and they want to know Jesus. That's what it's saying. We need to learn the power of perpetual praise. It'll refresh the saint and it'll reach the sinner. I was working in the mill. Church couldn't pay me nothing. So I was working in the mill and I had a guy walk up to me one time. He says, all right, you've got something that I don't have and I want to know what it is. And I said this, I don't have anything you don't have. I just have somebody you don't have. It's Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Probably 3 months later, he received Jesus as his Savior. I had that happen more than one time working at the mill. We must give them, there's other things I did at the mill that I wish I wouldn't have, but anyway, we won't go there. We must give them the gospel, but they also must see the victory in our lives. You witness with your lips. I know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I understand that. But you also witness with your life. Well, everybody's going to end up in one of two places. You know what they do in heaven for all eternity? They praise the Lord. They praise and worship the Lord. You know what they do in hell? They suffer and they blaspheme. Heaven is a place of perpetual praise. You'll be forever in one of those two places. You'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell. Some say, I'm not so bad. Listen, friend, it is not the amount of sin. It's the fact of sin. The Bible says all have sinned. Somebody said, there is no one so good he need not be saved, and there's no one so bad that he cannot be saved. It's a wonderful gospel. God longs to save everybody. He longs to save you, and he will if you'll trust him. You want genuine revival? Let me tell you one of the things that you have to learn in your life if you want revival in your life and you want to see it spread. You need to learn the power of perpetual praise. It'll change your life. It really will. Now, let me say this. I got to close. You can't fabricate it. All right, I'll say amen once in a while and the pastor preaches just to get him off my back. Okay, that's not going to worship the Lord. I mean, you need to fall in love with Jesus. You start reading the Psalms, it'll help you. You listen to good preaching and be in church faithfully and consistently, and it'll help you. And pretty soon, you find places to serve the Lord and get involved in certain things. You know what? You'll just be praising God. And you let praise be on your lips all the time. In every circumstance, and in every situation. Because I'm telling you something, there is power in praise. I hope you accept that and believe that. Let's bow faith if you'll come to the piano, please. Father, I don't know if I communicated that well or not, to be honest. But I pray the Spirit of God would teach us the power of praise. I mean, genuine, wholesome, godly, holy worship to where we long to worship you in the beauty of holiness, to where we would say, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. And I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship and there will be continually on my lips praise unto our God. Lord, I pray that that'll become the spirit of every person here. And they'll just fall in love with Jesus. And they'll worship him. And they'll praise him. And they'll give him the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith, if you'll play. Now, I don't really know how to give an invitation this morning. I'm going to be honest. But if that's not you, you're not in love with Jesus, you don't love the Savior like you ought to love the Savior, you need to tell him. And you need to ask God to put a passion in your heart for Jesus. And all you Christians out there, you need to learn to praise God before the victory. Because now if you're self-centered, you'll not get that. You'll not get that. Anyway, I'm going to let you pray. Isn't he great? Doesn't he deserve our worship and our praise? All right. I'll probably end up starting Sunday school just a couple minutes late here. I'll be teaching. Brother Pardee is down at Ford's Bush Bible Church, and he'll be down there the next 4 or 5 weeks. They haven't had a pastor down there in 3 or 4 years. By the way, I mentioned this on Wednesday night. We need to pray that God sends pastors to New York State. Do you realize there are about 12 churches in New York State that we know of that doesn't have a pastor? I mean good churches. 12. There is a deluge of young preachers. And nobody wants, remember I was telling you the other day about Josiah, I don't know if I told you, about the one guy from North Carolina? He says, where's your church? I said, it's upstate New York. Yeah, he says, that's not happening. He wouldn't even pray about it. He wouldn't even think about coming up here. It's not that bad. Girls, is it that bad? Not that bad. And my goodness, the guy wouldn't even pray. But anyway, he'll be going down there, and after 4 or 5 weeks of teaching and preaching, they might vote him in to be interim pastor. Keep that in your prayers. We'll see what the Lord does there. Because they've been without one for so long, I would doubt. I'd be surprised if they didn't vote him in. But there, when I say pray for pastors, I'm serious. You need to make that a matter of prayer. That's a lot of churches. These are independent fundamental Baptist churches. And even if they don't have the name Baptist on them, they're Baptistic. And anyway, let's stand. Let's go get a cup of coffee. We'll go start Sunday school a couple minutes late. I got to get my coffee. So I'll be teaching Sunday school in here. We're going to keep going in the book of Acts. Father, we thank you for the day. I thank you that we can praise you and worship you. Lord, you saved us. The girl sang that song. You gave your life for me. What a blessing. Quite frankly, I don't know how we can't praise and worship you, but some people don't realize the power of praise. I pray they'd learn it, and they would fall in love with Jesus and learn to worship him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.